بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, Alhamdulillah, tonight we completed the 14th juz of Quran. We began Surah Al-Hijr and thereafter Surah Al-Nahl. And in the opening verses of Surah Al-Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the creation of insan, the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, and shaitan's expulsion from Jannah, from paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ. We created insan, we created Adam alayhi salam min salsal. Salsal in the Arabic language refers to clay, but such a type of clay that when it is struck or when it is tapped, then it makes a melodious echoing sound. So we created man from this melodious or echoing clay, min حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ, which originated from a dark, muddy substance. And ulama explained the different stages of the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, that first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took some sand or some dust, and thereafter mixed it with water, and this became a muddy substance, which is referred to in this verse, حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ. And thereafter, as the substance dried, it then became salsal, a type of clay that would utter an, or make an echoing sound when it was struck. So Allah says, we created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam from this substance. وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ. And we created the creation of jinn from the fire of a smokeless flame. In other words, there was fire, and this fire did not have any smoke. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the jinn from this substance. And after creating Adam alayhi salam, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ. Remember when your Rabb said to the angels that I have created a human being from melodious clay which originated from a dark, muddy substance. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ. And now once I have perfected his form, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. And I have blown a soul into him. فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. Now fall down in prostration before this creation of mine. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. Immediately the angels all together go down, bow down in prostration before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Illa Iblis, except for Iblis, Shaitan. Aba ayyakuna ma'as sajidin. He refuses to bow down, he refuses to prostrate before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And here Mufassirin explain that in this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command is to the angels, that you bow down in prostration before Adam. And Iblis, according to the preferred view, was not an angel, he was from the creation of jinn. So how is it such that the command of Allah also fell upon him? So Mufassirin explain that due to Tulus Suhbah, Shaitan's lengthy period of time that he spent in the company of the angels. And he then began to bring within his own life the qualities and characteristics of the angels, their ibadah, their worship, their obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That even though he was not from the creation of angels, he was a jinn, yet whenever any directive was issued to the malaika, to the angels, then automatically Shaitan, Iblis would be included here. So in this verse, although the command is to the angels, the command also comes upon Iblis. He refuses to bow down before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah says, Ya Iblis, ma laka alla takuna ma'as sajidin. What is the matter that you don't want to listen to me? You don't want to bow down before Adam? Shaitan replies, he gives the reason for his refusal. Lam akul li asjuda li basharin khalaqtahu min salsalin min hama'in masnoon. He says, O my Rabb, it is not befitting for me. It is beneath my dignity and my status to bow down before a human being. You created him from clay, from sand. In another verse, Shaitan says, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارِ. You created me from fire. Fire is superior to sand. And therefore, because I am better than him, I am superior to him, therefore it is not befitting, beneath my dignity, for me to bow down before him. In other words, the sole reason for his refusal here is the pride that he had within his heart. Look at the destructive consequence of this. Allah says, فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا. Get out of paradise of Jannah. فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. You are now an outcast. Remember, Shaitan held such a position with Allah. Iblis, as we explained, he was regarded to be part of the group of the angels. And such closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was always in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah says, إِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. You are an outcast. You have no position by me. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ اللَّعْنَةَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And further, my curse will be upon you till the day of Qiyamah, till the day of resurrection. From here, ulama explain that just as pride caused Shaitan to be expelled from the gardens of paradise, similarly, in this world, if a person has pride, he thinks of himself to be greater than others, either on the basis of his skin color, his race, the family he comes from, the financial status that he enjoys. If a person thinks that he is better than somebody else, then just as this caused shaitan to be expelled from Jannah, it will also cause a person to be removed from the bounties of Jannah in this world. Many bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are enjoying in this world. Safety, serenity, contentment, Allah's favors upon us, our food, our clothing, the roofs we have over our heads, our family members, and various other imani bounties that Allah has given to us. Just as pride took shaitan out of Jannah, these favors also will be removed from a person's heart and his life if he has pride in his heart. So this is a very destructive sin malady of the heart. Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi has explained that on one occasion there was a pious person, and it was the day of Jumu'ah. This person took a ghusl, a bath. He purified himself, he put on clean clothing, and he applied itar to himself, and he was en route to the masjid for Jumu'ah salah. And as he was going to the masjid, he comes across a river or a small stream that was full of dirty water, and there was a small bridge to cross over, but this bridge was very narrow, so only one person could cross at a time. And as this person tries to cross the bridge, he sees from the other side a dog is trying to cross the bridge as well. So he gestures to the dog that, get off and allow me to cross first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the dog to speak to this pious person. So this dog says to him that, O slave of Allah, you are asking me to get off, and I must cross through the dirty water beneath the bridge, and you want to cross over the stream or over the bridge. And the only reason you are doing this is because you think that you are better than me. You are superior than me, and you are greater creation of Allah than me. So he says to him that, O slave of Allah, if you will force me, or rather if you will step back and you will go through the stream, then perhaps some dirt may come onto your body, onto your clothing, and one ghusl, one bath will be enough to purify and cleanse you. Your clothes will be clean, your body will be clean once again. But on the other hand, if you force me to get off, and you think that you are superior to me, and you make me go through the stream, then he says, the water of the seven oceans won't be able to clean your heart. The dirt that will come into your heart because of thinking that you are greater than me. So this was a great lesson Allah taught to this person. Immediately he makes tawbah, he repents, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. But we can also take lesson from this. A person should never have pride, never think that he is greater than anybody else. As another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the only basis for closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for status and position in the court of Allah, is a person's taqwa. It is not based on how much wealth a person has. It is not based on the family he comes from, the language he speaks, the color of his skin. These are things of dunya. But taqwa, closeness, piety, and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the yardstick that a person should gauge and see how much of it he has in his life. Moving on in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about the incident of Sayyiduna Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, a story which we are also familiar with. So the angels had come to Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ آلَ لُوتٍ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. These messengers, they had come in the form of very handsome young men. So they enter, or they knocked on the door of Lut alayhi salam. قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ. When he sees them, he says, you are a group that I don't recognize. You seem to be strangers. You are not from this town. قَالُوا بَلْ جِئْنَاكَ بِمَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَمْتَرُونَ. So they reply that, don't worry, there is nothing to be afraid of. We have brought to you that punishment which your people are in doubt regarding. Lut alayhi salatu wasalam would always advise and admonish his people. And we know that they were engaged in the vile act of homosexuality. They would fulfill their desires in the wrong place. So he would always advise them and warn them that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to befall you. So these angels say, we have brought this punishment that your people are in doubt regarding. وَأَتَيْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ. We have brought the truth to you. وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ. And thereafter they tell Lut alayhi salam that in the morning the punishment is going to come, and therefore you take your family members and you leave your home. Nevertheless, as the evening passes, news spreads, the people of the town come to know that there are handsome young men in the house of Lut alayhi salam. These are guests that have come. They don't know that they are the angels sent from Allah. وَجَاءَ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. Allah says, these people from the city, they come in a very happy mood. They are rejoicing that here there are young men that we can fulfill our desires with. They knock on the door of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. He cautions them, إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ ضَيْفِي فَلَا تَفْضَحُونَ. That these are my guests, please don't disgrace me, don't humiliate me in front of my guests. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his people replied to him, قَالُوا أَوَلَمْ نَنْهَكَ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ That, O Lut, did we not prohibit you, did we not tell you that you are not allowed to protect anybody? You can do what you want, you worship Allah, you follow the commands of Allah, but don't give protection to anyone, you allow us to do what we want to do. Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, he tries once again, هَاُولَا إِبَنَاتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ He says, if you have to fulfill your desires, then here are my daughters. In other words, you make nikah with them and you fulfill your desire in the correct place. Some mufassirin say he gave off or he was willing to give his own daughters in marriage. Others say that he is referring to the females, the women of that particular town. Nevertheless, these people refuse. They don't want to accept what he is saying. Allah says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَعَمْرُكْ إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ Allah describes their frame of mind and what was going through their mind and their heart. Allah says, by the qasam of your life, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ They were wandering blindly with no guidance in an intoxicated state, as though like a person who is intoxicated. He doesn't know right from left. He doesn't know where he's going, what he's doing. So these people were like this. Their desires had overcome them. The punishment then comes. Allah says, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّيْحَةُ مُشْرِقِينَ فَجَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا Allah says, a very severe screech then seized the people of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, and we made the upper part of their land into the lower part. What is the meaning of this? It means that we capsized the entire land. The roof now lay on the floor. Ulama explained that these people, they turned the shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upside down. Allah told them that you fulfill your desires in a halal place, man with a woman, you make nikah and you are allowed to fulfill your desire, you will get reward in this way. But they wanted to turn the deen of Allah upside down, so Allah capsized them as well. Similarly, in our lives also, if a person tries to turn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upside down, what Allah says is halal, we regard to be haram. What Allah says is haram, we regard to be halal. We don't want to accept the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the same punishment will befall a person. If not physically, but a person's entire life will be turned upside down. He doesn't have contentment, he doesn't have peace in his life. There's always things that are troubling him, worrying him, because he is not fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that when it comes to this particular action of homosexuality, especially in today's time, where there is an agenda that is being pushed, that this is something that is natural, and people are born with these tendencies and inclinations, and therefore, you cannot grudge a person if he wants to fulfill his desires in this way, a man with a man, a woman with a woman. So we find that this is something that is being propagated through social media, through various different organizations. It is something that is being mentioned in the news. There are different organizations that are formed to promote this, what is known as LGBT. And we find that commonly one of the arguments that is mentioned is that a person is born with these inclinations. A person says that I have that inclination. A man says I have an inclination to a man. And there's nothing I can do. I can't help myself. So how are you forcing me now that I must marry a woman? It doesn't make sense. Allah or God created me with these feelings within my heart, and therefore I should be allowed to act on these feelings. So ulama explain a very simple answer to this is that if a person has to go into the prison and see those serial killers who are spending their life sentence and interview them, then you will find they will also say that it was a natural inclination tendency in my heart to murder, to take life. And I couldn't pass few days without blood on my hands. It was something natural. I don't know where it came from, how it came, but I just felt that I had to take a life, and therefore I acted on this, and now this is my life sentence. So nobody feels sorry for a person like this, that by that this feeling is in your heart, and you want to take a life, so no problem, you are allowed to express yourself and do whatever you want. Nobody accepts this. Nobody believes this to be correct. So in the same way, a person says, I am born with these tendencies, this does not mean that a person can express it. This is sometimes a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person has to suppress this, and a person has to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time has almost run out. Just one more verse we will discuss. Towards the end of the 14th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains or speaks about various different bounties and favors that he showers upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah speaks about the rain that he sends down, the crops that grow as a result of this rain, and the various different fruit and flowers that a person gets. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the animals that he has created and how a person can take benefit from them, the milk that he gets, the meat that he can consume. And after speaking about all these bounties, Allah then says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you try to enumerate, you try to count the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never be able to do so. Hazrat Mu'abd al-Hamid sahab dam barakatuhum always gives the example that generally on a Friday, a person goes home for lunch and sometimes he eats biryani. So that plate of biryani is put in front of a person. Sometimes Allah forgive us, without washing our hands, without even taking the name of Allah, we begin to eat. So he says that just ponder over the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this one plate of food. And then he explains in detail that in that one plate of food you have rice. The rice came from a different country. And there the entire industry, that somebody had to plant the seed, somebody had to water it, then the crops had to be harvested, there was the use of tractors. That tractor has so many components in it. That also, this entire industry behind just manufacturing the tractor itself. That the rice is harvested, then it goes through packaging, then it is marketed, it is advertised. The entire import-export industry. And finally, it reaches our shores, it is then put into the shop, and you go and you just pick that bag of rice off the shelf, you take it home. Just the rice, this entire system Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put, just for one grain of rice to land on your plate. And this is just one ingredient. We have so many spices, the meat is there, the saffron is there, the masoor is there, the salt is there, all of this coming from different countries. And industries behind this, one plate of food lands in front of you, and all you have to do is pick it up and put it in your mouth. Allah doesn't even make you responsible for the digestive system also. It's not that a person has to press a button and then the food digests. Imagine if a person forgets. But Allah makes all of this happen on its own. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounty and blessing, one plate of food. Ask those people who have to go for dialysis, they can't pass urine. What a musibah, what a calamity it is. So Allah says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. If you try to count the bounties of Allah, you will never be able to do so. And then Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah is most forgiving. So Allah will not take you to task for this. In another verse, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَكُورٌ. Allah is appreciative. Just a little bit of gratitude. Just a little bit of thanks you show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Allah will increase His bounties and blessings. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil